Hello, thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And today I have a very inspirational guest. His name is Bob Sima. He is a singer, songwriter, performer, storyteller, speaker, servant of humanity, workshop and retreat leader, and as the transformational troubadour, a teacher, guide, and a mystic, but through the medium of melody. His music bridges daily life and soul consciousness. When Bob Sima leaves the stage, whether at a concert hall, a listening room, a spiritual center, a yoga festival, a prison, a conference, or a hospital, people are so deeply moved that they find it hard to express the power of what they just experienced, and many are changed forever. You can find out more about Bob and his music by visiting his website, which is www.bobsima.com, and that's BOBSIMA.com. And I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Bob to the show. Good day, Bob.
Good day, Robert. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it is my pleasure, and I have been enjoying your music for quite a while, from the time that we booked the show, and I listen to it constantly. It's very soothing and very uplifting, so it's been really a joy.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be accompanying you along in your life.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. Well, you know, there's a whole lot of things I would really like to learn about you and your music, but I'd like to first start with when was it that you found, you know, music to be, was going to be a real big part of your life? How did that unfold?
Probably, you know, music. When I first heard recorded music. I mean, I grew up in a household that didn't have a lot of music. It was, we had a big, you know, those big stereos back in the 70s, you know, they had those big giant things that were like big giant pieces of furniture, and you knew there was a speaker back behind that thing, but you didn't know what it was. Just this big mesh thing, and it had some kind of thing that spun on top, but that never worked. But we listened to the football games on there every Sunday, and so I didn't know about music. And then finally I was, I don't know, maybe 11 or 12, and I snuck into my sister's room and just, you know, grabbed some music and started listening to it. And it just lit me up. I mean, it just completely just mesmerized me, the idea that, you know, there was all these different groups and she had all these albums in there, back when they had albums, of course. So I think it started there when I first heard music, and I was just mesmerized. And I don't know what it was. It was just some calling. And so I just got obsessed with it. I didn't get obsessed that I could name every song and I listened to every type of genre of music, but the songs that grabbed me, grabbed my heart, and grabbed my emotions. I mean, I knew every nuance of the guy's voice or woman's voice. So I really just kind of gained a huge affection and I was just mesmerized by music from my early teens. And then I really didn't start fully, I mean, I got a guitar and I started doing all that, but I never really did anything of substance with it till I was, I don't know, probably in my 30s, you know, when I had sort of a life awakening, kind of a, what do they call it, a third life crisis, maybe, quarter life crisis. Maybe not quarter life, that would be a really long life, but just, you know, I have series of slow awakenings, and I started listening to you know, a lot of like inspirational speakers, you know, the luminaries, you know, the Wayne Dyers and Eckhart Tolles and just some of these wisdom makers of the world. And when I started listening to that, the same way I started listening to music, and then I pulled out my guitar again and I just, these songs just flew out of nowhere. Coming out of, well, we know where they come from. They come right from the source of it all, from the divine. But I was so opened up to it, so opened up to the idea of healing myself, of transforming through, you know, painful circumstances, to finding what it was I was supposed to be doing on this planet. And all those things have always sort of gotten me excited over my life, but I didn't really start delving into them until I got into, like, Wayne Dyer and those guys. So it was kind of that alchemy between the idea of transformation and, you know, an inspiration, you know, you could use that word, but just really more just the mystical part of it, just the non-physical aspects of our being. All that just started growing into poetic, you know, poetic substance, along with my, I would call, rudimentary guitar playing at the time. I mean, I probably knew half a dozen chords, and I had a capo, so that changed everything. I could play the same chords and move it up and down the fret. So that's kind of the way it happened. It's always been an alchemy for me. These songs are just therapy for me. I mean, I only write about what I'm currently very excited about on a transformational kind of a level, and that's how the songs come out. And some, you know, some of them are funnier. You know, some of them are, I wouldn't call them silly, but some of them have a humor to them. But they're all, they all have a depth to them, and there's a message. You know, like almost like you'd hear in a church, you know, a sermon on a Sunday, just like some great messages. You know, they never come out preachy. They never come out, you know, like trying to tell you what to do. They just come out like just reminding you. You know, there's not really teachings. They're just reminders of what you already know, and delivered in the form of a simple follow song, and that's kind of my recipe for all of this, if you will.
Wow, that's, I mean, you know, to first of all, to be able to, you know, put that inspiration, you know, to music, even if it was, you know, rudimentary, you know, to me that's just a skill, or to be able to be open to kind of getting in that message and then translating it, you know, into something that is musical, can be applied to music, to me is just a talent that I admire. I mean, it's one that I, you know, I think is truly a gift.
Yeah. I think the key word you said is open. That to me is, and I didn't really understand all of this. I mean, when I first started doing it, I would kind of categorize it, I don't know, folk music. I mean, so I kind of went that route, and I got some songwriting awards, and, you know, it was all cool and everything. But, you know, I at one point I was asked to teach a songwriting class for this week-long retreat, Unitarian retreat called SUSE, where about 1,000 Unitarians gather for a week, and it's like a summer camp for Unitarians. And I had to teach a workshop, and I, you know, and they wanted me to, you know, do a songwriting workshop. They didn't want me to. They just suggested, you know, well, since you're a musician, you know, we've had other musicians do songwriting workshops. And I thought, oh no, I don't know how to write a song. I mean, I really don't. I don't know the first thing about it. I really sat with, you know, what is it that I do? You know, what is it that I'm doing here? And so what I came up with was this like workshop for the week. It was called Then Sings My Soul. And it's really just about the whole process of being open. So you hit the nail on the head when you said that word. It's really being open, because, you know, all the great, you know, composers and, you know, there's endless quotes that you can look online. Puccini, you know, he would say this opera, Madame Butterfly, was directly dictated to me by God. I mean, that's what he said. So, you know, it's when you're open to these things, when you're open to the goosebumps, when you get goosebumps and you follow them, you know, you don't just sort of, oh, I don't know, that was interesting. So when I get an idea, a thought, when I hear somebody say something, I mean, I just light up. I'm like, you just said a great, I'll grab my phone and I'll put it in my list of, I have a probably a 20,000 word list in my iPhone under notes of song ideas, you know, or talk ideas or workshop or retreat ideas. So when you get that spark, you know, you just, you hear something and it just sort of, it's like a lightning bolt. I mean, that just, that's the connectivity that everybody has. I mean, it's just there, you know. It might be in your corporate job, you know, you might be sitting there banging your head against the desk, like, I can't figure out how these numbers don't add up. And then you just take a breath and you go, oh, there you go. So it's just being open, you know, I think is the key to that, you know. And yeah, it's like Gil, but it's, to me, it's,
yeah,
just a, you know, it's kind of just been a, I don't know, something weird about me, how open I am. I like this open channel that just, it all comes through and then it pours out. So,
well, that, that's good. I mean, a lot of people have static in that communication. So, you know, to have a clear, to have a clear communication is a good thing. So, but you know, and it's your idea, your comment about having on your phone like a little log or note to record those things. That's a great thing for listeners out there who, if you don't have something like that, to do that, to start that, because I've done that before, and I haven't been as vigilant as in the past. But what I have found is that if I don't write it down at that moment, it seems like that spark or that whatever that inspirational moment or thought was kind of fades, you know. And and it's really good to have that little reminder, like, oh yeah, I remember that. Boom, you know, that gave me goosebumps. I can do that.
Yeah, so it's like it's realizing your weaknesses. And for me, I get inspired by something, and I'm like, oh, that's an awesome quote. Oh, it's so simple. Oh, I'll remember that. And then 2 days later, I go, oh, man, what was that quote? And I could almost feel the whole song coming out when I heard the quote. Like, if I just would have sat down for, you know, like a minute and just, you know, just typed it all out. So it's knowing your limitations and knowing that, yeah, I'm not going to remember that. And, you know, just take a second. And sometimes I'll be at somebody else's talk or something, and I'll tell them up front, you know, I'm going to be sitting in the front row, and it's going to look like I'm texting my friends, but I'm actually typing notes in my phone. Because it's, you know, it's just such an easy way to capture things. And then you can just print them off. And a lot of times I'll get a couple little sentences down, and then I'll just come home, and I've got it all set up where my phone just prints, you know, right from my phone. And I'll grab it, grab my guitar, go sit in the study and grab a little cup of tea, and out it comes. I mean, it's just, there's just, as Maya Angelou used to say, the you know, the poems will float into your kitchen window. And if you're not sitting at the table, that's okay. They'll just float back out and go down to the next kitchen window. So keep your window open, you know, be open. You know, and,
exactly.
Be ready, be receptive, and be ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things I noticed just in listening to your music, there's usually, like you say, kind of like a message or, you know, just a little bit of insight or some kind of wisdom for people to remember, you know. Now, with, I mean, it's what I like about it, it's not like country music, you know, where everything has gone wrong, you know what I mean? Where, you know, it's like, you know, it's, oh, woe is me, and everything is wrong with the world. I mean, you really kind of, you know, come at it from an uplifting or a positive approach. Is that kind of like the typical thing that you focus on? I mean, is that kind of how it works for you? And have you ever really kind of had those challenging moments where it might be a good song, but maybe it just didn't feel right because of it was dark, I guess, for lack of a better word?
No, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, I think that the world kind of needs all kinds of energies, and, you know, I mean, when I listen to music, and sometimes, and I will keep my finger on the pulse of popular music, just I don't know why, I just do. And I listen to it, and I just, it does kind of break my heart, because it's continuing to bombard this beautiful humanity that we are with a lot of the wrong messages, you know, like these I mean, and like, come on, they're love songs. I mean, like, I can't live now, you're gone. I mean, I'm going. There was one song I heard that I just want to stay high all the time or something now that you're gone. I mean, like,
oh,
just,
Lord.
Like,
no.
Okay, so you're gone and I'm just going to be stoned all day because I can't take it. So it's sort of like one of these, things that just it's like this blessed unrest in me that says, well, okay, so that's going to be out there and that's going to probably win a Grammy. So I've got my work cut out for me. So I'm going to stick to my thing. And, you know, it's not like I sit down and say, I'm going to write an inspiring song today. It's just, and they're not, and I don't even know if you'd call them inspiring. I think that's just a natural word that comes out. It's just these cool reminders, like, you know, like the looser the grip,
yeah,
the lighter the load, you know, the looser the grip, the lighter the load. I mean, you can go around singing that and then eventually you'll get to the third verse and it'll say, you know, the stronger your pride, the longer the road, you know, I mean, so pride is about a grip. Yeah. And then you start to just, you know, so it's not like I'm like bombarding a message at people like, you know, please open your hearts. You know, I mean, it's not that straightforward. But the other answer is no. When I've written some really sad songs, believe me. Oh yeah.
And I
listen to sad music, like, you know, and I say sad music meaning that music that will bring up a sadness or a longing in you, because that's kind of really who I am. Like, on the surface, on the website, you see this smiling guy with a guitar, and every song will pretty much bring some joy to your life. But there's an Enneagram. I don't know if are you familiar with the Enneagram? So I'm a four. And a four on the Enneagram, if anybody listening doesn't know about this, it's sort of a spiritual guide to different personality types. And a four is someone who dives into the darkness. It was like the Thomas Mertons or the Rumis that would just dive into this darkness of humanity, of the existence of what we're experiencing, and pull out some beauty and then just give it to the world. And that's the mark of a four, and that's exactly what I do. So, you know, but I just don't know if the average person, you know, gets that they're getting bombarded all the time and they're getting these messages about love that are, you know, they're very superficial romantic love, which of course we all experience, but man, there's lines in these songs that just make me really just say, oh man, I got to put another song out to counter that energy, because there was a song out the other day that says, I know I'm not enough. You know, I know I'm not enough for you. And it's like played over and over to these teenagers and stuff. I'm like,
yes.
Well, maybe that's what I listened to when I was a kid. Maybe I needed it back then. So I just do what I do, you know.
I understand what you're saying. You know, whether or not, you know, it's kind of you know, the age, you know, that kind of delves into that. I really believe that, I mean, the power of music to shift your energy, you know, and your perspective and your outlook, it's real, you know, and I think that, you know, putting out messages like I'm not enough, or, you know, I can't live without you, or, you know, I can't go on. I mean, those kinds of things, I think, you know, really kind of put it in someone's mind. You know, I mean, it kind of becomes part of a belief system. I mean, particularly if it's a catchy tune, you know, that it's like you saying it over and over. It's like, oh man,
you can't get it out of your head, and it's like, and I think about it now as you were talking, I was just thinking back to my teenage years. I'm thinking, you know, well, gosh, no wonder I was a crazy, you know, running around partying all the time, trying to find the next thing to make me high or whatever. I mean, I was definitely led a very crazy teenage and early, you know, late teen year life. And I think back to the music I was listening, and it was the perfect soundtrack for it. So, I mean, there's a sense in me that you got to try to do something to leave the place in a better place than when you got here. You know, like, what can you leave behind? Like, this radio show you're doing, you know, I mean, like, inspire the world. I mean, it's amazing. Like, awesome that you're doing this. So, you know, how many people live that way? And my son and I have this, I have a 12-year-old son, and we kind of joke, and I talk about songwriters in like in Nashville who, they're just songwriters, and they write for other people. You know, most of the big artists, they don't write any of their songs. I mean, maybe some of them do, but there's these staff writers that just write songs. And, you know, and we kind of got into this joke about, you know, well, do you think that song was just for the money? You know, or did he write it for the world? And so we'll hear these songs, and it'll come on, and he'll look at me halfway through the chorus, and he'll go, yeah, it's just for the money. This is just for the money. So there's a, you know, a sense of, like, there's just a sense of wanting to put something into the world that is going to enhance or enrich or remind people of how beautiful they are and how beautiful life is, and doing it from the bright side of things, you know, not the super, you know, what do they call it, rose-colored glasses, but just like that, you know, I mean, probably the one of the saddest, I don't want to say saddest, but one of the most contemplative songs I have is called It's Amazing, and, you know, it's a waltz, and it's a 6-minute song, and it starts with, you know, life has a way of making you drop down to your knees. You know, breaks your dreams down to something more than you think you need. And time has a way of picking up the pieces from the cracks in the floor. So it's not the happiest song in the world, but then the chorus says, you know, but if you open up your eyes and let it shine, it's amazing. You know, the darkest, most powerful times in your life are probably the most beautiful. They really are. There's a lot of ground to cover in songs and all of this. And but just to answer your overall question, I really have a hard time if I just don't think this song is gonna really make a difference in, you know, in someone's life one way or the other. I'm not gonna put it out there. I mean, I write a lot of songs that don't ever get put out there. So but there was one song that's called Hole in the World, and it's with a W in parentheses, so whole with a W in parentheses in the world. And, you know, it's funny to sing the song and just watch people, you know, because it's just, there's a lot of words. I mean, I don't even know how I sing the song, there's so many words, but it's just, you know, there's a hole in the world, there's a hole in our hearts. It's a crack so familiar, you wonder, where do you end and where do we start? And so it's like the world is kind of in a rough spot. But then at the end, I go in and start talking about there's a star in the sky. There's a star in the sky with a little, I can't remember the words unless I'm saying it, but it's glimmering hope in our eye. So it's the connection to the earth is what the song is all about. And, you know, it's one of those songs where at the end of the song, I play it live and people, they don't even want to clap. They're just stunned, staring at me. Like, well, yeah,
you know. I know. Yeah, and that's probably one of those. Like, is this a good reaction? Or, you know?
No, it was, no. If they clapped, it would not be the right reaction because it would be like, oh, okay. Yeah, nice song. Well, no, not really. That's not. You're supposed to cry.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, and one of the things. You know, I have one book that I wrote called Joy Potential, and it was one of those things where it was truly, you know, dictated to me, you know, and one line that came out that it was, I mean, after I read it, I was like, wow, and that was that the definition of a successful life is leaving the world and the people you touch better than when you came in. You know, strictly that, and then, you know, and that's kind of been my philosophy ever since. You know, to try to help people get that kind of perspective of success. You know, versus the commercial, you know, rise to the top type success.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have a break shortly, and I want to play one of your songs before the break, and then when we'll have another one toward the second one. But maybe we can set this one up. The one I want to play first is called I Am, and it's from your most recent CD called Put a Little More Love in the World. So
Now, do you have these in order first, or... Is it, you were talking about playing Be the Change as well. Could you play that one first?
Well, I was going to do the I Am first, but I mean,
okay.
it doesn't
All
matter.
Right. All right, you probably have an engineering thing going.
No, I can do whatever I want.
you can. Be the Change would fit right into what we just discussed, so
it might be
cool.
Well, then let's shift. Be the Change. we'll talk about that. And that one was from your Thin Little Veil CD, so just to let listeners know. Okay, let's talk about Be the Change.
Well, yes, and we just did. So what it is everyone's heard the term Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And there's probably, 20 or 30 songs about that. It's pretty, pretty popular saying. But when you listen to the words and you listen to the power of this song, it's the perfect quote that sets it up is from Rumi, and from like the 12th century. And he said, yesterday I was clever. I wanted to change the world. And he said, today I am wise. I'm going to change me. And that is what this song is about. It's about practice. It's not about the knowledge. It's not about, I'm going to learn to be a peace facilitator. I'm going to go through 10 years of college and become an expert on, it's actually just about becoming the best person you can become, and live from that place and then go out and do something with it. So it's not just about being a monk sitting up on the top of a mountain and meditating and sending out prayers of protection to the world, which, there's a place for that. But what if you carried that in your job? Like, what if you carried your spirituality right on your chest, right on your sleeve, and just not that you were going to run around telling everybody be saved or whatever, but just carried that, all the goodness and all the things that you've been taught through spirituality and through self-discovery and through your transformational work and your meditation, taking all of that juice and bringing it to the world to do something about whatever it is that drives you. So that's what the song, I was actually invited to sing in front of a Marianne Williamson speech at a conference. Yeah, so I didn't have a song. It was called Be the Change National Conference, oddly enough. And so, I wrote the song, kind of in the middle of the night. I got up in the middle of the night one night and just went down to the kitchen. And I remember it was cold because we turned the heat way down in the kitchen, and I sat there, and I could hear it, the whole thing. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to cry about it. I don't want to worry. It was just like, I want to do something. I got to get my hands out of my pocket. Let's go do something. So it's kind of that take it to the streets thing, do all your work, do all that spiritual work, all that stuff you need to do, but then go do something with it. Don't grab another book, don't go to another workshop, do something with it, volunteer if you have to, just something that you can bring some of that goodness into the world, that all the work you've done on yourself, turn it into some inspired action. So.
Yep. Well, and that's perfect because right after the song, I'm going to, because I can control things, I'm going to just skip the commercial break, which is when I use the kind of screen calls if there are any. So if there are, I'll do it during the song. So we'll just play the song and then come back. And actually, that'll be a good transition because I want to again talk about some of the, things that you do, as far as being of service, because that appears to be a very important part of your life work as well. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, everyone, stay tuned. Again, this is called Be the Change, and again, it is from Bob Sima's CD called Thin Little Veil. Thank you.
don't want to talk about it. I don't want to cry about it. I don't want to worry anymore. I don't want to look down from a higher place. I don't need to feel the light. I just want to be right here face to face. I don't want to plead no more. Get you to believe no more. Convince you and put my hands in my pocket. Cause this beautiful world I'm waiting to see, I think I'm done trying to change you. This time I'm changing me. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to fight about it. I don't want to ponder anymore. I don't want to read about it. I don't want to meet about it. I don't want to ask someone else what they think. Cause silence is a dangerous thing. Yeah, this bird is telling me it's time to say.
Okay, again, that was Be the Change from Bob Sima's Thin Little Veil CD. And Bob, if people don't understand that to be the change starts from the inside after listening to that, then something is wrong.
Loud and clear, right?
Absolutely. Well, by the way, I do want to let the listeners know, you can go to Bob Sima's website, which is BOBSIMA.com, and I do, again, have a direct link to his website in the show page description. If you go there, you can find, you can listen to some of Bob's music that he has right there. Also, on his page, you will see in the upper right-hand corner, you can join him on Facebook and Twitter, and also subscribe to his YouTube channel. I've done all three, so I'm really looking forward to following Bob's journey there. So for all of you, do that as well. And Bob, I noticed also on your website that you have a mailing list that people can sign up for.
Yeah, you go right to the main page and just put in your name and email, and usually we ask for a city and state, and we'll send you a free download, so just for signing up.
Oh, that's great. Great. People love free things. And I have to say that your blog posts are wonderfully creative by having attached audio as well. I love that. It's Blog Plus.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you might as well take advantage of the fact that, you know, that you have music and you have other, you know, other means to, you know. Well, it's funny because I also do talks, you know, so I'll get up and do a talk and, you know, I'll be my own musician. So it's kind of nice to have them both in one package.
It is. And that's great. So, well, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about service. You know, one of the things that I've noticed, you know, from the music is, as well as looking at your website, you know, you are a strong proponent of being of service to others. And, you know, if you wouldn't mind, I find that you have gratitude concerts. I think that's wonderful. Would you mind sharing with the listeners a little bit what that's about?
Yeah, sure. Well, gratitude concert is our way of giving back to the community where we are, you know, touring, where we're going. So we go in for a concert on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's kind of how we do things. And then we try to do Monday or so on our way out of town, like a, you know, we call it a gratitude concert because it's, you know, it's just a way of expressing gratitude back to the community. But it's generally targeted at people who, you know, like couldn't get to the show because maybe they're, you know, maybe they're, it's a homeless shelter. Maybe they're, you know, maybe it's in a hospital. Maybe it's in, you know, a rehab center, you know, just places. And they're all generally brought to us. So we kind of put the vibration out that we want to do these things and they just kind of fall in our lap. That's kind of the cool thing. So we let people know we're coming into town, and we let the people that we're working with know that when we come into town, we're willing to do a free concert somewhere if they can think of a neat place. Like a, I mean, we've gone to, you know, school for developmentally disabled adults, you know, that are, you know, they do activities in the day, in the daytime, and so I've been in a maximum security prison, you know, before doing a concert, and so it's service, you know. It's just a way to give back, and you know, they're not always, the funny thing is they're just, I get so much out of it, and I get as much if not more out of it than playing in a big concert hall theater, you know, for a big crowd of people, you know that kind of thing. It's, you know, walking through a hospital. I'm a volunteer for Musicians on Call. That's musiciansoncall.org, I think. They're out of Nashville. And they, you know, you sign up through a national registry. You have to get trained with them. And I go down to Walter Reed Hospital every month or so, and I just, you know, I go with a guide, and I go room to room, and I just say, "Hi, would you like to hear a song?" And usually people are like, "You have a guitar on? Sure, come on in." And I'll just, you know, I kind of walk in, just, you know, picking on my guitar a little bit, and it's funny for me because I have no idea what I'm going to sing until I talk to them a little bit. So I just ask them, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, and it's kind of hard because people are not, you know, and like, so I got better at asking the right question. You know, I would say, "So what kind of song do you want to hear?" And they're like, "Oh, I don't know, whatever you want to play." And now I say, "So what's going on? What's keeping you up at night?" You know, What's keeping me up at night? Well, I'm just so worried about money. I just can't. I'm in the hospital and I got out of work. And then we talk a little, we have a little, you know, 2-minute therapy session, I guess. And then the song just lands on him that much more, you know, intentionally. So I do that. I also work at I volunteer at a place called the Wellness House. It's in Annapolis, Maryland, where I reside. And, well, when I'm home and I'm not on the road, I'm there once a month, and I do everything from song, I would call them song healing sessions, to breath work and meditation workshops. And these are for people with cancer in their lives and their family members and caregivers. And it's generally they go to Wellness House to get Reiki and energy work and yoga and, you know, all any sort of, you know, alternative kind of treatment therapies. You know, anything you're going to get out, you know, you're not going to get chemotherapy there. This is the place for, you know, the other types of work. And
right.
So that's where I go once a month. So I keep this going, and it cultivates a sense of service, and it feels great to
That's, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, whenever I have volunteered, it's really, it's just fulfilling, you know, to be able to give of your time and attention for no other reason than just to be there and do it for someone else. And, you know, and that's, you know, I think a lot more people could get a lot more out of life, a lot more satisfaction if they were to incorporate a little bit of that into their lives.
It's hard. It is hard. I'm not going to lie to you.
Sometimes
we're driving down the Walter Reed. I mean, it takes us like 45 minutes to DC traffic, and it's always a big pain to get in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we haven't been there for a month or so because the last time we went, they gave us a hard time about our badge, and our badge was expired, and we needed a different color badge, and we already submitted it. I mean, we spent hours on this stuff, you know. I kind of moan about it, and, you know, and I'm driving down there a little bit, and doing this again today. And I thought, man, I tell you what, when you leave there, you were just seriously walking on air because you just, I don't know, it just lifts you.
Yeah.
It lifts you in some way that you can't get from any other thing in life. It's the only way you get that feeling, and it's.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, plus I'm sure it's inspirational for you too, just to see these people and, you know, their reaction to your music and looking at their life circumstances and the challenges, you know, that they face too. I mean, it has to be. I worked, I was a psychology major and worked for a little time in a mental ward for teens. And that was probably one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, because every time I left there, my heart broke, because, you know, here I am, I can leave, you know, and there they can't, you know, and that little bit of time and the relationships that kind of were formed during that, and just the conversation was, to me, it would never fail that I would go home and I would just look at my life and be so, I really learned gratitude at that point, you know. And,
that's beautiful.
You know, and,
yeah.
And that's just, you know, and that's something that, you know, people can talk about it, but the actual sense of gratitude is, there's really nothing like that.
True.
Yeah. Now, you do events and that kind of thing. So if somebody wanted to speak to you about maybe coming to their hometown or to maybe do an event, they would just contact you through your website?
There's a form they can fill out. And it basically just asks you a couple questions, you know, where are you located? there's a whole list of items. You don't have to select them. I'll just pick, call me, and we'll call you. But Shannon would call them from, she does all the booking and management. And, you know, we would work with you to co-create an event that would work in your community. If you go to the offerings page, I think it's under booking resources, but there's an offerings page, and you can read about all the different, because I'm pretty unique in the sense that I'm not just a singer-songwriter who comes in and does a concert. I mean, I have some teachings that I bring. I've studied with some amazing teachers in the art and science and practice of breath work. So I bring anywhere from a 1 hour to a 4 hour to a several day experiential workshop that includes music and meditation and what I call practical breath work. So it brings some really, you know, really powerful, and these are just ancient teachings. They've been around forever from, you know, from the spirit and from the discipline of yoga, the pranayama teachings, which is just the control of your breath. And I bring all of it together in a beautiful way with music and with experiential, with lights, and with a lot of connection with each other. We host retreats where if you really can get together, you know, 10 or 15 people, we have many connections across the globe for different retreat centers. If you want to, you know, maybe you're a New Thought Church or something, you want to bring it all together and bring a teaching that would last forever. And it would, the breath work will change your life. You will never go back once you've experienced a 4 hour breath work experience. So, but it's not just as intense, you know, stuff. I mean, there's a lot of music and there's a lot of singing. We do toning and chanting. And so if they go onto the offerings page, they can just sort of get a flavor of some of this. And again, just fill out a form and then we'll call you and booking for, you know, the second half of this year, we might have something even before then. So we have some spots here and there in our schedule. So.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, I'm going to keep that in mind because I come across so many people who like to try to put together events, you know, mm-hmm. and quite often have difficulty trying to decide where to go, what to do, and that kind of thing. So I'll be certain to send them to your way and Shannon's way to be able to
absolutely
get that to happen. Great. Let's see here. We're going to have, I'm trying to see exactly how much time we have. We've got about 12 minutes, and I do want to go ahead and play the second song, I Am,
mm-hmm.
before mm-hmm. So why don't we, if you wouldn't mind, just set us up with I Am, and then again, and that one is from Put a Little More Love in the World CD. That's your newest CD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the opening song. The opening song on the new CD. You know, you can say, as I heard somewhere, I heard this thing was Eckhart Tolle said, when you say the word I, it's either the greatest error or the most wisdom, full on, I get it, word that you can say. So it's either the greatest error or the most profound thing you can say about yourself. So, you know, think about all the interactions you have with people, and you say, you know, you're sitting there talking and say, oh, I'm a teacher. Oh, okay, I teach at the elementary school. Okay. And then maybe you meet one of those kind of New Thought-y kind of people, and they say, I am a child of God. I am a divine light being. which one's correct? You know, which one's correct? Well, the first one said a role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a teacher. You know, the other one said, I am just a quality. You know, I am, you know, and these words are just, you get caught up in them. They really do. Words are words. So I do some work with an Aramaic scholar and mystic. His name is Dale Allen Hoffman, and he is one of the great Aramaic teachers who goes back to that ancient language that many say that Jesus would have spoken, and you know, gives you a completely different perspective on some of the words that come out of his teachings. And when he was saying, you know, I am the light, I am the truth, I am, what he was saying really was I am. And in Aramaic, it's Inanna. And the real translation of it is not I or me. It's the I within the I.
Mm.
So it's this much deeper mystical meaning. So this song really came out of some of that teaching, and it came to me through a better understanding of what I am. And so, and the end of it is really cool. I mean, it has this whole message through it, I am, I am. But the end, if you hang on and listen to the end, you'll catch the ending is, I think, the best part, because it's Ubuntu, which is the African word for sort of interdependence, that, you know, we are all in this together. And if you are suffering, I suffer. If I am joyful and I'm living in the fruits of something, I'm going to share them with you, because we intermingle. So that's the end of the song, and it ends on not just the I am; it has more to it.
Now I'm going to have to really listen closely. Now I had someone who's on my show, an intuitive from Denver, and she used to say the Ubuntu, and I just, of course, I had to look it up then, but I didn't recognize it at the end of that song. So now you've piqued my interest. So I'm gonna go ahead and play that song, and then when we come back, we'll go ahead and close out the show. Okay.
Great. That sounds good.
Great. Okay, everyone, again, this is the song I Am, and it is from Bob Sima's newest CD called Put a Little More Love in the World.
What's the I behind the I am? Who's the me behind the I through which I see? Am I the watcher, or is there something else that's wanting to be seen through me? I've accumulated all these things, artifacts, possessions, names they try to tell the tale of me, but I am holding on to thinking there's a little bit more to the story. Well, I know I'm not the name you say, the things I own, the roles I play. I know there's something breathing me. If you take away my name and you take away these things, you're left with only awesomeness, the essence that I came here with, the everything. Listening to these whispers in my ear, you might call me crazy, but you know you do it too, 'cause you know that there's a voice behind a voice in you. Well, I know I'm not the name you say, the things I own, the characters I play. I know there's something breathing me. And if you take away my name and you take away these things, you're left with only present everything I am.
And again, that is I Am from Bob Sima's new CD called Put a Little More Love in the World. And Bob, I just love that. That's such a good song.
I mean, Did you get that at the end now?
Yes, I do. I tell you, that's great. And, you know, that's one of those, I mean, every time I listen to that one, I just kind of bop around singing, I am, you know what I mean? And it's, it's positive programming, you know, and I'm all for that.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have just a few more minutes left. So, you know, if there's any maybe final words, you know, that you may want to pass on to the listeners, you know, about your music or maybe just some, you know, Bob Sima words of wisdom, you know, for a living, what might that be?
Breathe. Yeah, I mean, it's there's a song on the new album called I Am Here. You know, I am, and then I am here. I am here is in a nutshell the truth of all for me. And it's you can find me in the silence. I'll be breathing. It's the truest true, everything I believe in. Light dance is before your eyes, a precious gift to be realized. It leaves you with an indescribable feeling. And I think the average person walks around is a shallow breather, and I know I was until I learned about this. You know, so seek out someone in your community that can teach you about a deeper sense of connection to your breath, a more proper breathing, just technique. I mean, it's a technique. I mean, you think you don't need to learn how to breathe, but when you learn to breathe like the yogis, you have just literally transcendental experiences. I mean, you have, you know, non-ordinary states of consciousness. I mean, you have, you know, the word spirituality really means the interbreathing that connects all of life. So if, you know, and it's like 1% knowledge and 99% practice. I mean, it's the one thing you could practice all day, every single day. So that's what I would say is, you know, there's thousands and thousands of books on fixing your life and getting yourself, you know, out of whatever you're in. But the breath will take you back to your center, and it will open up your capabilities beyond what you can do from any learning. And this is just my own personal opinion. And it also will bring you health. It will bring you restoration. It'll bring you, there's ways that you can do conscious breathing where you can avoid caffeine and things that are constantly just draining you. So that would be my advice, is to breathe and seek out proper pranayama techniques and listen to good music. You can listen to my music. It's all on there. You can go there and just listen to 6 or 7 songs for free. It's just there, a little jukebox. Just go listen. If you want to purchase CDs, they're all there, or they can download or get hard copies. If you listen to the show tonight and you like something, just tell me. I have a page on my website called Your Blog, and it's for you to write something, and you could do that too if you wanted. Robert, just write something, just be part of the story and write something about some of the songs or whatever. And again, the booking page is there. If you want to bring me to your town, we can come for a concert or stay for a whole weekend. We want to come play with you, so reach out.
There you go. That's great. I like that. Well, thank you for your time, Bob. I really enjoyed our conversation. Like I said, I've been enjoying your music, and you've got a follower and fan here that will be sure to spread your message far and wide. So, again, I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Robert. It was a pleasure to be with you. I really enjoyed the conversation, and, you know, maybe we'll stay in touch. Where are you physically based?
I'm physically in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So
we
got a few.
We were just there on Monday night.
No.
At the Unity Church.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Well, you know, it's funny because you mentioned. I was just at a function last night, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and there were a few people from the Unity Church there. You know, and we were talking about various things. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Oh, cool.
How about that?
Well, that's a big crossover group. Well, next time we'll have to get you to come out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I will be staying in touch. And like I say, we've connected on Facebook and Twitter. At least, you know, I've gone ahead and liked your page and started following you on Twitter and subscribed to your YouTube channel. So, and everybody else can go to your webpage and do that. So I'll be sure to keep in touch with a little bit more about what your journey is. And also, do please pass on to Shannon my thanks for her coordination efforts. I appreciate that. I know coordination can be a challenge at times. So I just want to acknowledge that as well.
She's the queen of it. I'll pass it along.
Great. Okay. Thanks. Again, all everyone, right, today, blessings to you too. Again, everyone, today, my very special guest has been Bob Sima, singer-songwriter, the transformational troubadour. And again, you can find out more about Bob by visiting his website, which is bobsima.com. And again, I do have a direct link to his website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.